Scripture reading tonight, will you turn with me to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew? And while you're turning there, I would like to take this opportunity on behalf of my wife and myself, since she's leaving this week, to give thanks to all of you for your kindness during the time that we've been here with you. Matthew 15, and these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. He called the multitude and said unto them, "Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man." Then came his disciples and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Declare unto us this parable." And Jesus said, "Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." Two other verses I'd like to mention, and they're found in Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. The Apostle Paul is preaching, and he says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." Tonight I would like to speak with you on the bad news and the good news. The Old Testament is a book full of bad news. The very last words of the Old Testament are these: "Lest I come," God is speaking, "and smite the earth with a curse." For 1,500 years, God's people had the law given to them by God. And not one of them had ever kept the law. And the Bible says, "Cursed is everyone that continues not only begins, but that continues not in all things," not in some things, "but in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." An impossible burden. The law was never given by God as a means of salvation. The apostle says, if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness would have been by the law. The Bible does not say by the law is the knowledge of God, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. Its purpose is to show me that I'm a condemned sinner. That's the bad news. The last word of the New Testament is this: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. What a contrast between law and grace. God has only one penalty for sin, just one: the death penalty. And every one of you here tonight, by only one penalty for sin, just one, the death penalty. And every one of you here tonight, by nature, are sitting on death row. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It tells us that God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did understand, any that did seek after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. God's word says, there is not a man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Without exception, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, there are superficial differences in us. But as God looks at men, this is what he says. You may think you're better than the man next to you, or the woman next to you. But God's word says, there is no difference. No difference. For all have sinned come short of the glory of God. I often wonder and marvel that anyone living in this world and who has an open Bible in his hand can say to me, when I say to him, how are you? And he says, I'm all right, when God says you're all wrong. There is none. None. None that doeth good. No, not one. And whatever difference there is between men is not because of any difference in us, because God's word says the flesh, the Lord Jesus said it, the flesh profits nothing. 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 God doesn't see one good thing, one redeeming thing in you. Not one. And anyone who is saved here tonight can only say with deep thanksgiving to God, naught have I got but what I receive. Grace has bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded. Pride I abase. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Once I was foolish, and sin ruled my heart, causing my footsteps from God to depart. Jesus hath found me. Happy my case. I now am a sinner, still a sinner, but a sinner saved by grace. You know, it is no accident that the first two people born into this world were thieves. We can't brag about our forefathers. Adam and Eve, the two of them, were thieves. It is no accident. It was no accident that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified between two thieves. Because, oh men, all men, by nature, are thieves. Robbing from God and robbing from man. If you're here without Christ tonight, you have been robbing God your entire life. You're a thief. You've never turned over to God the property that belongs to him. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. And not only did he create us and have a title to us because he made us, but he has a title to us because he bought and paid for us at the cross. And you have never had the decency in your entire life to turn over to God that which belongs to him. You're a thief. You know, isn't it interesting that the Lord Jesus, here speaking in Matthew, tells us that which defiles a man. And he mentions seven things. And every one of them are telling us the same story, that man is a thief and is responsible to God for his thievery. And the one who is speaking here is the one who is going to judge your life and mine. The Lord Jesus said in John 5 and verse 22, the Father hath committed all judgment into the hands of the Son. And when the Bible says every man shall give account of himself to God, what it is really saying, every man shall give account of himself to the Lord Jesus. That's a solemn thought, isn't it? Someday, if you're a Christian, you're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of the deeds done in the body. If you're here without Christ and pass out of this life without Christ, the one who is going to sit on the judgment throne, the great white throne, is the one who once hung on Calvary's cross and bore your sins, paid your debt so that you would not need to appear before him still in your sins. For the scripture said, the Lord Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, as passed out of death into life. And the only reason that you'll not come into judgment is because the Lord Jesus Christ came into judgment for you. Jesus, the believer says, my Savior died, nailed to the tree, cruelly crucified, stricken for me. Darkness there shut him in. God judged him for my sin. Jesus, my soul to win, died there for me. Oh, the marvelous wonder of it all. The Lord Jesus begins by telling us that out of the heart of man, and he's going to judge the heart. You know, man looks at the outward appearance. They looked at the Pharisees in the Lord's day and they said, my, those people are certainly religious people, wonderful people. And the Lord Jesus said, of those same people, you're just like whitewashed sepulchres. On the outside, you make a nice appearance, but within, full of dead men's bones and all kinds of corruption. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. Out of the heart of man. That's what he's going to look at. Not how well you're dressed. Not how much people think of you. Not how much you think of yourself. He's going to look at your heart. And his word tells us this. Out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts. Before God judged the world at the time of the flood, God's word said this, that the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And after God had judged all those people, and after the flood, God looked at men and he said the same thing, the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. That didn't change. Judgment doesn't change man's hearts. The only thing that can change a man's heart, I say change a man's heart, God gives you a new heart. It's not a new start that you need. It's a new heart. Man and man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Have you ever coveted anything? Out of the heart of man to see evil thoughts. The Apostle Paul said, concerning himself in Romans chapter 7, I had known sin. He was a sinner, but he says, I had known it, except the Lord said, thou shalt not covet. If they wanted anything, the Lord Jesus says, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath already committed adultery. The thought of foolishness is sin. Not just the overt act, but the covert act. Your thought. God is going to judge not only what you've said, not only what you've done, he's going to judge your thoughts. Evil thoughts. And when man thinks evilly, he's generally thinking of taking something that doesn't belong to him. I was staying in Lester Wilson's home, apartment, in Albany, Georgia, several years ago. He was away. And he had a little pocket knife like this, one of these Swiss knives. And I had one, too. But the little thing that's in here that you use to pick your teeth with, your toothpick, was missing in mine. And I happened to pull out his drawer one day. And he had his knife, and he had the toothpick in it. And the first thought that entered my mind was this. I could take that, and he wouldn't even miss it. See what I mean? The thoughts of man's heart. Only evil, continually. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thy neighbor's manservant or maidservant or anything that is thy neighbor's. You look at that fellow and he's got that lovely home. Boy, I wish I had that. And you sort of covet it. You ever done that? In thought, the Lord said, whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. You ever thought about that? You don't have to take his life. If you hate your brother, God says you're a murderer. Guilty of murder. And you know what murder is, don't you? That's stealing. It's taking a life. Even if you commit suicide, you're taking a life. It isn't yours to take. No one should leave this world uninvited. When God's ready to take you off this world, he'll do it in his own time and way. Adulteries, the Lord Jesus said. You know what that is, don't you? Taking somebody else's wife or husband. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Under the law, in the Old Testament, a man who committed adultery, he was executed. And his partner was executed. That's how seriously God thinks of it. And the reason God thinks so seriously of it is the home is the foundation of society. And everything, anything that strikes at the home, God puts the severest penalties on that. David did it. Suffered the consequences of it too. His soul wasn't lost, but his testimony was lost. Fornications, you know what that is? That's robbing a girl or a boy of their virtue. Anything outside of marriage is forbidden of God. Marriage is honorable in all, to be esteemed in all, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. He does judge. No one gets away with sin. You may think, well, I've heard people say, well, we both consented, but you see, you didn't have God's consent. God hasn't consented, given anybody privilege of having any relation with any other sex outside of marriage. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And the Lord Jesus said, whosoever put away his wife, except it be for the cause of fornication, and committeth and marrieth another, committeth adultery. That's how God looks at it. This is the judge speaking here. He's the one that's going to sit in judgment. Doesn't make any difference what your brother says, or your mother says, or your friends say, or what the preacher says. What does God say about it? That's the test. Sin. The Bible says he that commits fornication steals from himself, sins against his own body. That's stealing your own virtue. Your body belongs to God. It's for the Lord to be used in accordance with his word. Thefts. Stealing property. People steal from the government, cheat on their income tax, steal from insurance companies, misrepresenting the losses that they took, and they'll say, well, I took this big loss, and they say, well, it's just an insurance company, we've got plenty of money. It's stealing, no matter who you're stealing from. That's how God looks at it. stealing. I'd like to see all of the money in the States that was actually stolen from insurance companies by people misrepresenting their losses. An amazing amount of money. Stealing. False witness. You ever told a tale about somebody here on the island and rob a man of his reputation? When you steal a man's reputation, you're stealing something very precious to him. A good name, the scripture says, is rather to be chosen than great riches. And you've been guilty of lying about somebody else. Blasphemies. Slandering God. Taking his name in vain. Do you think that's a light thing? The Lord Jesus didn't think so. He's the judge. And the worst thing about man is not only a thief, he's a sneak thief. You ever heard anybody say, Mr. Van Ryn, I'm here tonight to rob you? They don't do that. They come when I'm not there. They break in at night when I'm asleep. Or a man says, knocks on a man's door, says, I've come to steal your wife. Doesn't that sound nice? They say that kind of nonsense. Man is not only a thief, he's a sneak thief. He does it when nobody's looking or when he thinks nobody's looking. Men love darkness rather than light, the scripture says. Because their deeds are evil. Oh, my friend, as the Lord looks at your life and my life, there is not one good reason, not one good reason that he should save you. There's not one person here tonight that deserves God's salvation. There's never been one person that has stepped on this platform, that has listened out in the audience, so any preacher's been here that deserves salvation, not one. If your salvation and mine depended on a deserving, we'd be lost forever. But oh, praise God. Ah, the wonderful news, the good news. The good news is this. God has not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. But as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Oh, the good news of the gospel. The apostle says, I want you to know something. Be it known unto you. God wants you to know it. It's not something he's trying to hide from you. It says in Hebrews chapter 6, God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. He confirmed it with an oath that by two unchangeable things, his word and his oath, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge, lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Oh, we have an anchor. God's word and God's oath. And we can cast our anchor in that and know with assurance because it's impossible for God to lie. Be it known, God wants you to know. God wants you to know that no matter how greatly you've sinned, he loves you. And the wonderful truth of God's word is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And no one will ever get saved until they know that they're lost, that they can do nothing to save themselves. That's when God can save you. Two men went up into the temple to pray. And one, he started looking around. A lot of people do that. They say, you know, I'm better than this Christian, or I'm better than that Christian. Maybe you've done that. That's the way this man was. He said, Lord, I thank thee. I'm not as other men are. Think of a man having the audacity to say that when God says there's no difference. I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. He says, I'm not a thief. Or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. Sounds good. I give 10%. I give a lot of money to the Lord of all that I possess. And then there was that lowly publican. He was so ashamed of his life, of his sin. He got a view of how he looked dirty in the eyes of a holy God. And the Bible says, as it looks at your heart and mine, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and incurably wicked. The biggest liar that you know and ever will know is your own heart. It tells you, I'm pretty good. I'm all right, preacher. I'm okay. Well, you can believe that nonsense, or you can believe God's Word. And God's Word says, there is none good. No, not one. Listen to these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I love these words. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, it says abusers of themselves with mankind, that's what it means, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. None of those are going to make it. That's pretty bad news, wouldn't you say? But oh, the wonderful good news that follows. And such were some of you. Isn't that wonderful? And such were some of you. But you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified. Justified, just as if you'd never sinned. God has forgiven all your sins. My sin, Horatio Spafford wrote, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. He's nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. All that we'll ever be able to say when we get to heaven, Lord, I'm not worthy, but you made me meet. Thou art worthy, for thou hast redeemed us to God. By thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and nation and people. What do I have to do to enjoy this? Oh, he says, the apostle says, all you need to do is to believe the message. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to pay for it. Oh, we seek to live for Christ after we receive the gift, but we don't get the gift because we have lived for Christ before or after we're saved. Through this man, what man? This man. This man of whom the dying thief said, this man hath done nothing amiss. He's not here because of his sin, but Peter says he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. This man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. He sat on the cross, it is finished. It's finished, yes indeed. Finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need, tell me. Is it not? Be it known of you that through this man received sinners. You mean that? The kind of people that have done these crimes? That will shut a man out of heaven forever? Do you mean he forgives all sins? Such were some of you. But you're justified by the Spirit of God. Ah, the apostle says there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by the redemption that was in, which is in Christ Jesus. Through this man is preached unto you, not a work to be done, but a message to be believed. He's preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him some of those that believe. Is that what it says? And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. There's only two kinds of religion, if I can put it that way, in the world. There's a religion of do that says you have to do something. Some way you have to earn God's salvation. And the other says it's a free gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A Hebrew Christian who taught for many years at the Moody Bible Institute wrote a number of poems, and one of them they wrote a very short one, but I love this particular one. He wrote these lines: I do not want an epitaph upon my grave. Full well I know that death levels all, the wise, the fool, the king, the slave. But if you think it well, when I am gone, write this alone: he fought a losing fight until this truth he learned, that life in Christ is God's free gift and never, never earned. You can't earn it. But God offers it to you freely. The bad news: out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And the good news is that be it known to you that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. You can know tonight on the authority of God's word, because Christ died on the cross, and because he bore your sins in his own body in the tree, that the moment you receive him by faith, reach out the hand of faith and say, Lord Jesus, I will trust. I'll trust you with my soul. I'm guilty, I'm lost, and I'm helpless, but thou couldst make me whole. And I can tell you on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, that if you'll do that, just where you are and as you are, you don't have to hold up your hand. You don't have to talk to me. All you need to do is lift up your heart. You don't even have to speak it out loud. Say, Lord Jesus. In your heart, tell it, because man looks on the outward appearance, but he looks on the heart. He says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. How simple. It was very costly for him, but it's very simple for you and me. There's no reason, no reason under heaven that you should not come tonight, because he says in his word, now is accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We're going to sing number 196 and then we'll close in prayer. 196. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save. He will save you now. 196.